Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marcy Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has given a thumbs up to extend the presence of U.S. troops beyond 2014. However, he has also said that the Loi Jirga, or the Assembly of Elders, must approve the security pact between Kabul and Washington. Now, many Afghan citizens want Washington to leave their country. The central issue for the Assembly is the issue of immunity for American troops that will remain in the country after the withdrawal of its allies' forces by the end of 2014. What will this do to Afghanistan, and why does the U.S. want to stay in Afghanistan when more and more Americans are dissatisfied with the deteriorating social economic conditions back home?
Tension is high in Afghanistan after the country's president declared that Kabul has reached an agreement over a security pact with the U.S. The pact would allow American troops to remain in Afghanistan beyond 2014. A larger number of Afghans have staged a rally in the eastern city of Jalalabad to show their opposition to the deal. Protesters say American forces are responsible for the deaths of many civilians in their country. Demonstrators also called on members of the Loi Jirga to reject a possible agreement. The Jirga, gathering of elders from across Afghanistan, is going to meet next week to vote on the pact, which is also called the Bilateral Security Agreement, BSA.
I once again invite the members of the Loi Jirga to kindly attend the meeting of the National Jirga of the Afghan people and participate in the discussions, make their voice heard and express their view about what is in the best interest of Afghanistan.
Violence has surged in Afghanistan ahead of the Jirga meeting. This is the aftermath of a bomb attack near the venue of the discussions in Kabul. The blast left several people dead. If the Jirga approves the pact, it will go to the parliament for approval too. The security agreement, known as the Bilateral Security Agreement or the BSA, is part of the strategic agreement signed by Obama and Karzai in July 2012. Under the agreement, the two sides must sign a security agreement before the end of this year. Otherwise, the U.S. troops will have to leave Afghanistan in 2014. The issue of granting legal immunity to American forces has been a sticking point in the pact, to which many in Afghanistan are opposed. Washington insists that its troops must be given immunity, but Afghan officials have said they would not accept this. It's unclear if Karzai has backed down from his stance on the issue. Afghan people are growingly angry with foreign forces, particularly the American troops, over their operations, which have on many occasions caused civilian casualties in different parts of Afghanistan. Many in Afghanistan now say foreign troops have not improved security in their country, but quite on the contrary, they have deteriorated the security situation in the country.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, former American intelligence linguist out of Florida, Scott Ricard, and former American diplomat out of London, George Lambrakis. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, let's start this off in London. In your perspective, sir, why does the United States want to stay beyond 2014 in Afghanistan?
Well, as I understand it, there are two main reasons. One is to continue helping the Afghan, particularly the security forces, prepare to take on the responsibilities of controlling the situation and protecting the Afghan people against the kinds of attacks that happened today in the context of this, of blowing up people and blowing up things, terrorism that has been taking place, presumably backed by the Taliban, if not others. And that is reason. There is a reason.
Okay, we're having some technical difficulties. Hopefully we can get that cleared up. Well, let me turn to Florida with Mr. Scott Ricard. Your perspective, our guest in London, was basically saying that in order to stop the bombings and the violence in general in Afghanistan, it is necessary for the United States to stay. But the question would be, what has been accomplished in all these years, more than 12 years of being there? What have they accomplished? Why are we still witnessing this violence?
Well, to say that the American troops and the American influence needs to continue in Afghanistan is fairly irresponsible. After 12 years, obviously, they're not taking the right approach. This has been a, you have to take a look at the history of the entire 12 years. Going back to 2000, early 2000s, the GDP for Afghanistan was somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2 billion a year. And this is a country the size of Texas, and it has, 30 million people, about the same population as Texas and maybe Iraq. So you're looking at a very poor country with a GDP that low. The GDP has been raised almost five times over the past 10 years. Most of that is our American projects and State Department projects. And obviously, the Afghan opium trade is exploding. It's another bumper crop this year. This is, the average income for an Afghan individual is about $500 or $600 a year, where if you're growing poppy, you're making almost $10,000 a year on good years. But in the last couple of years, the farmers have been cheated, and the farmers are getting about half that now for the same amount of crops. Now, the opium trade is very important to Afghanistan, because they really don't have anything else to export. They have pistachios, they have some agriculture, but if you look at the size, I can buy a bag of pistachios that's a pound and it costs me less than $10. But if I take a pound of heroin or opium that comes out of Afghanistan, that's gonna get me somewhere about $2 million. Mm-hmm. And that $2 million, that's pure. And then it gets a wholesale price for pure heroin coming out of Afghanistan. So these are the issues that are really driving Afghanistan. That's a $700 or $800 billion industry once it gets into the pharmaceutical industries. And then you have $1 trillion worth of military industrial complex revenue that's been made. And really, Afghanistan is its GDP is really only about $8 to $9 billion now. So
Mr. Ricard, sorry, let me just jump in here.
Go ahead.
You've been talking about the opium trade. I want to look at the role, if any, that you see the United States that playing in that, because at one point in time, basically the poppies, the industry basically was decreasing, but we have seen a boom now in this industry. What role, if any, do you think that the United States plays in this business?
An incredible role. The United States consumes half of the world's pharmaceutical drugs, and 60 to 70% of the heroin and opium in the world produced is coming out of Afghanistan. And then the another 30% is consumed by Europe. So 80% of the actual pharmaceutical drugs being consumed in the world are actually consumed by the same people that are manipulating Afghanistan. And the military is heavily involved, the CIA is heavily involved. They're transporting these drugs out of Afghanistan and getting these drugs into both illicit and also commercial trade. And there's a lot of money involved in the transport, and there's a huge upsell. I mean, the farmer is getting very little for his product, and it's almost 100 times profit to once you get it into the wholesale market.
Okay, well, let me turn to Mr. LeBrock, get him back in on this discussion. In your perspective, why does the United States want to stay in Afghanistan what appears to be forever?
Well, I don't know about forever. I doubt it's forever. We've had a good description of a lot of things happening in Afghanistan. I don't think they're related at all to the issue we're discussing tonight. It's nice to know about the drug trade in the world. These are different issues we can discuss another time. However, as I was going to say, in addition to helping the security forces, which is the army, the police, any other security forces there are, to become better at protecting people in Afghanistan from the kind of terrorism that has come through the Taliban, the main other reason the United States wants to stay there is in case the Taliban do come back to a certain degree, and it looks like they probably will, because there will probably at some point have to be some kind of a compromise agreement between the government and the Taliban that will allow them to do a certain amount. If they come back and allow Al-Qaeda to do what it was doing when the Americans first came into Afghanistan, let's not forget why the Americans came in the first place, then the Americans will have a presence there, a small presence, but a presence that can go in very quickly to try to stop this Al-Qaeda part of the Taliban issue. Mm-hmm. And if there is no Al-Qaeda being protected by the Taliban as they were before, then probably the Americans will at some point certainly remove the troops they're keeping there for that purpose, and maybe eventually, when they feel the training has reached enough of a level, then all the Americans will leave.
What Mr. Ricard had said regarding the drug industry in Afghanistan is a totally different subject. So you're saying that basically the Americans have nothing to do with the industry, the opium industry, that is basically seeing a boom under the ruling of the Americans. So are you saying that the American soldiers, the Americans play no role in this industry at all?
Well, I don't think the boom is because the Americans want to have a boom. It's because
they are over those areas, sir. They are over those areas that are thriving. So,
I know they are over those areas, but it is not easy to deprive people of their living if you can't find something else. And that's always been the problem with drugs around the world.
Okay, what about that, Mr. Ricard? After 12 years of the United States being in Afghanistan, he said because it's very hard to deprive them of basically the main industry that they have. What about the lack of infrastructure? Can we look then at that aspect, the lack of infrastructure during this more than a decade that the United States has been in there, with all the billions, if not more, dollars being spent? Why didn't they try to actually develop that side of things? Wouldn't it have been likely that we have not have seen the people go to the illicit drugs? Florida, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Ricard.
After they do the infrastructure.
Well, I find it remarkable. Excuse me, Mr. Lambrakis.
Go ahead,
I find
please.
It remarkable that Mr. Lambrakis is basically so disillusioned by the actual facts. I assume a Greek, today marks the 40th year, of the anniversary of November 17th and the junta when they took and murdered people in Greece, and being potentially related to Grigoris Lambrakis, who was also murdered in 1963 in Greece. He should be very aware that the CIA operates in very bad ways around the world. So I find it remarkable that he would think that we're just trying to do good things in Afghanistan. The fact remains that all of the opium production, 80%, happens in the south of Afghanistan on the borders with Pakistan and Iran. And that is very easy.
Which is where the Taliban is.
This is all being produced in 1,000... Excuse me, Mr. Lambrakis.
That's where the Taliban is strongest.
There's 1,000 square miles where they... There's 1,000 square miles, it's flat land, and this is where they've been growing it and allowing them to grow it for so damn long. And the reason they allow them to grow it is because it is hundreds of billions of dollars a year in revenue for the pharmaceutical industries. It is hundreds of billions of dollars in year in illicit activities and revenue. It is black money, and they're only putting in several billion dollars a year. Excuse me, Mr. Lambrakis, quit interrupting
me. Saying.
They're only...
Go ahead,
I will
Mr.
give
Ricard.
You proof. And they're only actually putting... They're only actually putting several billion dollars a year into Afghanistan infrastructure. And so if you look at the trillions of dollars that are spent on the actual war and the trillions of dollars that are made on the actual heroin trade, that is the underlying root of the problem. And there is absolutely no end to the amount of minerals that they could actually get the war to end.
Go ahead, Mr. Labrassi.
It's nowhere near that, but anyway.
Go ahead, London, go ahead. You can comment now, sir.
Well, I have to come in because there's a whole series of exaggerations that Mr. Ricard, who likes to throw on a lot of facts, also throws in a lot of non-facts in among the facts. And let's face it, the U.S. doesn't control things around the world. The CIA does not control what happens in Afghanistan or Iraq or Greece, for that matter. Yes, the CIA gets involved in things. Sometimes they have to go along with bad things happening in countries because they can't do anything about it. They have to always look after American national interest. And while Mr. Ricard seems to think almost anything the American government does overseas must be bad, because after all, there is this bad thing called the CIA, which does only nasty things. And then there's also the industry that produces the medicines of the world that does bad things sometimes too. And therefore, I'm not sure what that has to do with the issue we're discussing today about why Americans want to stay in Afghanistan.
Okay. Well, let me just cross over to our Facebook page so we can take a look at some of our comments from our viewers on this topic. Let's take a look.
For God's sake, why must American troops remain in Afghanistan after killing thousands of innocent Afghans? No deal should be signed with America. The BSA will only serve the American interests. Afghan people will get nothing from it.
Well, what about this, Mr. Ricard? You're sitting in the United States. Many would say that right now, with the pressure that the average American is under, why doesn't Washington choose to spend any money that they're spending right there on the domestic front?
Well, Washington is driven by the corporations that actually make the decisions for Washington. The politicians and the people have been out of the driver's seat in the United States for well over a century. You know, Mr. Lambrakis has been a lapdog for the State Department in Israel his entire career. So I find it very obvious that he wouldn't understand the issue.
You know a lot about
me. To say it's not trillions of dollars, everyone in the world, excuse me, Mr. Lambrakis. Everyone in the world knows that the pharmaceutical industry is nearly $1 trillion a year in industry now, annually. And we're talking about 12 years worth of opium
manipulation trade. You talked about trillions in Afghanistan, not about the pharmaceutical industry.
I said it's $1 trillion over several years.
Okay, Ms. Lambrakis,
you're throwing
go ahead, Mr. Ricard.
No, I'm not switching
all
the subject.
Go ahead, Mr. Ricard.
Yes, you are.
I'm not switching the subject. I'm telling you that it is hundreds of billions of dollars a year, which estimates well over trillions of dollars over the last 12 years.
Okay, Mr. Lambrakis.
And the question is, in the United States, they're not taking care of the people.
Okay, well, Mr. Lambrakis, let's look at the situation. In your perspective, with this agreement, if this agreement is agreed upon by the lawyer Jirga, and if it is approved, what do you think it means for the average Afghan, and what does it mean for the United States? What are the repercussions?
I'd also like to add to that what it means for the average Iranian, because I think Iran would just as soon not have al-Qaeda back on its borders, or for that matter, the Taliban. And that, as you know, your government in the beginning was very happy that the Americans came in. Now, at this point, we're in a very tricky situation where there's the first time in for over 30 years that the United States and Iran have a chance of fixing up the relationship between themselves, provided the negotiations go well.
Okay, so what does it mean for Afghanistan, sir?
You're asking a small group of Americans staying in Afghanistan. They're not going to be directly involved at all with most of the people unless there is an al-Qaeda outbreak. What they are doing is training the Afghan forces. That's what they're there for. That's what they will be staying for. The largest number of American troops will come back to America. We will stop spending money for them. There will be assistance continuing, financial assistance for the kind of infrastructure you've been talking about, to continue in through the Afghan government there. But there will be private organizations, presumably, provided they aren't being shot at, and everything built isn't being destroyed the day after. And that has been the problem in places where there's war going on while you are trying to build up, help a country to build up the infrastructure.
So are you saying, sir, that
right
as the
now,
troops go out, are we going to see more American are we going to see more American private contractors come in there in place of the troops, as we sort of saw and see in Iraq?
I doubt that, but who knows who the Afghans may choose to hire to help them do things.
Okay.
I don't think the private contractors are going to come in, particularly if there isn't any security.
Okay,
so
Mr. Ricard, because I'm just about out of time. Mr. Ricard, how do you see? I want you to answer the other part of that question that I asked our guest in London. What do you think if this pact is approved, the signing, especially the aspect of the immunity for American troops, what does that mean for the Afghans themselves?
That's
well,
standard.
Once again, it's an imperialist deal whereby we have diplomatic immunity for the ability for our soldiers as well as our contractors to go in there and willy-nilly kill and murder people and not be held accountable. No one's been held accountable at that level in any of the wars that the Americans have fought throughout Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. So you don't have accountability, and that's why they're demanding it, because that's the only way they can operate. This is not this actual warfare that's been going on has become so dirty. If you watch Dirty Wars, it's an incredible documentary. It'll tell you exactly what's going on throughout Afghanistan.
All right, I'm so sorry, we're out of time.
I appreciate both of you guys for being with us.
Thank you. Former American intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Ricard, out of Florida, and former American diplomat, Mr. George Labrascas, out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you for being with us right here on this debate. Make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much and goodbye.